you would open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand out of the honor of the reading of God's Word. John 12, beginning in verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip comes and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, that is our prayer, that you would glorify your name. And Father, that we would not just serve you, but we would follow you. And Father, that we would give up our life, Father, for eternal life. We might become a fruitful people. Father, we need your Spirit to move in our midst. Father, because truly this was something that troubled the soul of Christ and will trouble our own souls, and we need your Spirit to enable us to deny self. Father, please speak. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is now in Jerusalem, and as we've been looking, come Friday, he will be crucified. So this, John does not tell us exactly when this was, but this was within a few days of Jesus' crucifixion. And there are Greeks that have come to worship at the feast. You'll read of a term that's used in the King James, of a proselyte. Jews and Judaism is a very hard thing to define, because Judaism is a religion, but it is also a nationality slash family. The Jews would be the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they would also be those who would practice what is taught in the Old Testament, and that is the Mosaic Law. You will find that in America today that there are Jews who are Jews by descent. Some of my neighbors are Jews. But most Jews in America are actually atheists. Some practice other forms of religion. So Judaism is something very hard to define, because you can be a Jew even though you weren't born a Jew, because you practice Judaism. That is what these Greeks are. That's what the word proselyte is. A proselyte would be someone who was not born physically a Jew, but converted to the religion of Judaism. These are Greeks. They are not Jews. But they have come to Jerusalem to worship during the Passover because they have converted to Judaism. They believe the Old Testament scripture. They believe that there is one true God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they believe that there is a coming Messiah. They would believe in the prophecies of this anointed one, of this Christ to come. And they have come to observe the Passover and to worship at the temple with all the other Jews. While there, they've heard of this man named Jesus. They may have actually been there and seen him ride the donkey in and know this is Zechariah's prophesied king. This is our king. This is the king of the Jews. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. And like anyone would, they want to talk to him. They want to have a conversation with this king, with this Messiah. And so they go and they find one of his disciples. They say, Philip, we want to talk to Jesus. And Philip goes and finds Andrew. What do we do? And Andrew and Philip say, I don't know. Let's go find and ask Jesus. And they ask Jesus, Jesus, what do we do? And so Jesus goes with them to address the Greeks. And he gives them this one short paragraph. Now, I want you to grasp the importance of what is being said here, and the importance of this paragraph. Imagine Jesus Christ himself came to Gainesville, Florida, and you went and begged and pleaded, and he came out and talked to you for 45 seconds and gave you one paragraph of teaching straight from his mouth, and that was all you received. How many of y'all would think that what Jesus told you in that paragraph is the most important thing you had ever heard in your entire life? What Jesus tells them is the most important thing you can know and the most important thing you can hear. This paragraph is a summary of the entire teaching of both the Old and New Testaments, and it is a summary of the teaching of Jesus Christ. If you want to know Jesus, Jesus gives you one paragraph to figure it out. And this paragraph is filled with importance. So understanding the importance of this, let's look and see what Jesus says. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's saying right now, you are going to witness something that will bring about the glory of God. What is it? It's Jesus' betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion, his resurrection. That is what is going to happen this very week that he talks to the Greeks. And this is going to be for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. But then he just starts talking about farming. Okay, verse 24. He says this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He says something that's really quite simple. If you have an apple seed, all you have is an apple seed. That's really deep. But if you take the apple seed and you throw it in the ground and you bury it just like it's dead, you know what will happen to that apple seed? It will grow into an apple tree. And from when that little apple seed, not only will you get an apple tree, you will get bushels and bushels of apples. However, if you don't throw away the seed, all you have is a seed. If you take one little grain of corn, guess what you have? A grain of corn. But if you take that grain of corn, you throw it in the dirt, and you bury it as if it was dead, guess what will happen to that grain of corn? It will germinate, and it will sprout, and that will become a corn stalk, and on that corn stalk will be ears covered with many, many more grains of corn. You take a pecan. You know what you got? You got one pecan. You go and you plant it. Guess what happens? Out of that pecan will grow a pecan tree that will eventually bear hundreds of pounds of pecans. Sometimes in one season. But if you don't throw it in the ground and bury it, guess what you have? One pecan. And by the way, what will happen to that one pecan, that one apple seed, that one piece of corn, if you just hold it there? Well, nothing will really happen, but over time, as the years go on, that seed will become harder and harder, more and more dry, more and more dry, more and more brittle, until eventually it'll rot and be of no use to anything. Or anyone. That's what Jesus tells them. And then he goes on and says this. He that loves his life will lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. What on earth is Jesus talking about? Well, he's showing that the seed is your life. The seed is his life. You have been given one life. Jesus Christ himself had been given one life. There is no second life. There is no reincarnation. You have been given one life. And if you want to hold on to that life, just as you would hold on to a seed, guess what will happen to it? It'll become hard and dry. And then what will happen to your life? It will fall away and rot. You will lose it. However, if you hate your life, in other words, if you say, you know what, this is not worth holding on to. What would you say of a man who has that precious seed and then just throws it in the dirt? What do you do with things? Why do you throw things in the dirt? Because you hate them. They have no value or meaning to you. You get onto the kids, get out of the dirt. You're getting your clothes dirty. Don't walk in the mud puddles. But then you take this seed and you throw it in the dirt? Why would you do that with your life? A life that is so precious. Why would you throw your life away? You know what many people think about Jesus? He just threw his life away. That's what Jesus is going to do in just a few short days. He's going to throw his life away. He had such promise, such potential. All he had to do was just say, I'm sorry, there's a big misunderstanding. Recant a couple things he said, and then he can live. More than that, Jesus is the Son of God. He can call the angels down to stop his crucifixion. He can speak the word and be free. What a waste to die in your early 30s. What a waste of your life to be humiliated and crucified. But what does he say? The person who hates his life, what does he say? Shall keep it. Not only shall keep it, but keep it to eternal life. What happens when you hold onto that seed? It will eventually die and rot and be gone to be no more. But what happens when you plant that seed? It continues a cycle of life that continues on and on and on. And what he's saying here is very simply this, that you have been given one life. He's telling this to the Greeks. I, as Jesus is saying of himself, have been given one life. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to go die and give up my life. And you're going to say, that is horrible, that is stupid. What do you do? Hate yourself that you'd want to be crucified? That you would willingly lay down your life and willingly die? That's ridiculous. And he says, don't you understand? That is the only way for you to have eternal life. He then goes and says this, if any man serve me, okay, we all want to be of use to God and his kingdom. That's why you're in church this morning. Okay, you come to church because you want to serve. Okay, you want to do good things for the Lord. Okay, we have people who go to church. They try to do good deeds. They give. They try to do all these good things. And Jesus says, in essence, your service doesn't matter unless you follow him. We go, okay, well, I'll follow Jesus. I'll give to the poor. I'll follow Jesus. I'll go to church. I'll sing psalms. What is Jesus talking about following him? To the cross. You're not going to be able to follow Jesus for a couple days before it's going to get you in trouble with the Romans and the Jews and get you killed. And Jesus says, if you're going to serve me, what I demand of you, that you follow me to the cross. That you die just as I die. That just as he lays down his life, we would lay down our lives. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. Okay? Well, what does he mean by that? Well, if Jesus is the seed, and he does not lay down his life, guess what he will abide? He will abide alone. There will be no heaven filled with people. There will be no kingdom of God filled with the redeemed. There will not be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation around his throne singing his praises. He will be alone for all eternity. Why? Because the only way for his ministry to be fruitful is if he dies for our sins. But if he dies, he will bear much fruit, and the redeemed and the elect of all ages will come to faith in Christ. They will be born again. They will be saved because of his death, his burial, his resurrection, because he loved not his life unto death, because he hated his life, because he laid down his life for the sheep, because he was willing like a seed to be buried in the ground. Because of this, those who follow him in like manner to give up their life will be with him forever. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And that is the one who hears, well done, good and faithful servant. So what Jesus is saying very simply for us is this. If you want to hold on to your life, you will become hard-hearted, bitter, and cruel. And you will die and rot and lose your soul, even as Will read this morning. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? But if you will deny yourself, as we read this morning, and if you will die to yourself, then you will receive eternal life, you will bear fruit for the kingdom, you will have a home in heaven when you die, and you were healed. Well done, good and faithful servant. But notice verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? When you begin to talk about death to self, denying self, it's sometimes just words on a page. But when you begin to really grasp what is being said, and that is this: my rights, my reputation, my possessions, my future, my dreams, my friends, my family, my body, everything is the Lord's to do with as He pleases. And if that means that I get betrayed by my closest friend, rejected by my family and friends, and die a horrible death on the cross, so be it. If that does not make you say, "Now is my soul troubled," then you don't understand what it means to deny yourself. There's a knot that comes in your stomach, just as there was with Christ. You mean I have to be willing to give up my dreams, my future, my reputation, my body, my family, my life? I have to be willing to give it all up? It kind of gets that little knot in your stomach, doesn't it? You go, "Well, maybe I'll just give up half of it." We try to bargain with God. "Yeah, I'll give up this sin, but not that sin. I'll give up this amount, but not that amount. You can have this, but you can't touch that." But by the way, if you took a seed and you just set it on the dirt, it would rot. It has to be completely, totally buried. Dead. You know what happens if you bury a seed and it doesn't rain? And the soil's not moist, and it gets no sunlight? It's gone forever. You can't go out a couple weeks later and dig it back up and save it for another day. It's gone. You see, we kind of do the fishing, you know, where we throw things out and we keep a little line attached to it. "Here you go, Lord, you can have it." So we keep a little string tied to it, so that when it goes the way we don't like, we can pull it out. That's not what He's talking about. Jesus has set in motion a set of events that He cannot change. He is going to die. He is going to bear the wrath of God. He is going to be rejected. He is going to be crucified. And He's going to die as a common criminal, naked on a cross. You don't think that troubled Him a little bit? So He says, "Well, what am I going to do about it? Maybe I should pray, 'Father, save me from this hour.' Maybe I should ask God to not let that happen. Maybe there's another way." And does He not pray that even in the garden? You see, there is this way that we get in our minds. We go, "Maybe there's another way to be right with God. A way that won't cost me my reputation. A way that won't cost me my sin. A way that won't cost me my body. A way that won't cost me my life. A way that won't cost me anything. Maybe there's another way to be right with God except death to self. Maybe there's a way that I can keep me and my dreams and my future and get eternal life too." But notice what Jesus says. "But for this cause." What cause? "Death. Came I to this hour." The reason He was born was to die. The reason you were born was to die. It's the truth. Why do you save seeds? To plant them. That's it. They're no good for anything else. If you don't plant them, they'll rot. Why do you have seeds? Some of y'all have gardens. Some of y'all do your own seeds. Why do you keep them for? So when the springtime comes, you can plant them. You know why you are born? To die. And that is a very real, literal, physical event that will happen to you. You will physically die. But Jesus is not talking about the physical self. He's talking about the death to yourself life. The I, the me, the my, the living for self. But notice what he closes with in verse 28. Father, glorify your name. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Why were you born? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. You see, this is what Jesus is saying here. This is a complete and total summary of everything in Scripture. You were born and you came to this hour to glorify God and enjoy him forever. He who serves me will be with me, and him will my Father honor. That's enjoy him forever. How, though, can you glorify God? By dying to self and giving him your life. How can I be fruitful in the kingdom of God? By dying to self. By giving up your life. By giving up your rights. By giving up your future. Giving up your body. Giving up your soul. Giving up everything. You see, we're just like the Jews we talked about last week. We want to use God for our selfish ends, as opposed to be used of God for his glory. The way that God gets glory out of your life, and the way you fulfill your purpose for existence, is to deny self, to die to self, and follow Jesus Christ in giving up your life. Don't you long to see your children saved? Don't you long to see your grandchildren saved? Don't you long to see yourself saved? Our nation transformed. A church grow. That friend born again. Those children in Awana saved. Don't you long for fruit? You will not see it until you die. You will not see it until you give up everything. Everything. The seed doesn't lay down on the ground and keep one hand out so he can pull himself out just in case it doesn't go well. Everything is let go. And that is the reason you are born. Is to give your life to the Lord. That is the way he is glorified, and that is the way you enjoy him forever. You see, this one short paragraph summarizes the whole of Scripture. And Jesus gave the most perfect illustration of his life, as that he came and lived and died in our place, but he also came and died as an example for us, that as he died, so we should die. Can you imagine dying at 33 years old, single? He gave up his right to be married, his right to have sex, his right to have children, his right to have grandchildren. He gave up his right to retire, his right to live into old age. His rights, he gave them all up. He gave up his dreams, his future, his aspirations. Every bit of it was given up, and he laid himself willingly in the Father's hand to do whatever he wanted to with it. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That is the way God gets glory from a human life. So the question is very, very simple. It's a very short message. Okay, it's a little bit longer than his 45 seconds. But the question is, will you die? There is no other way. There is no other way. Will you give your all to the Lord? Anything. Children, future, health, business, finances, reputation, Friends, will you die? You know what you will find? Is that the hardest person to tell no is yourself. Will you deny yourself? So, oh, I'm already a Christian. Will you deny yourself? Will you? Just think of it. Think of the stupidity of holding on to a seed and watching it grow hard and rot and wither and fail. He who loves his life will lose it. But think of the wisdom that comes from planting that seed. Think of the fruit that it will bear for generations to come. Think of the difference it would make in this world and the next if you would but lay down your life. What a difference it would make in your life, the life of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the lives of your neighbors, your friends, your acquaintances, the life of this nation, if you would die to yourself. If you would deny what you want and say, not what I will, but what you will. Therein is the secret to the Christian life. That is the entrance to heaven. That is the entrance to joy, peace, forgiveness of sins. And that is to die to self. What did Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. That is what baptism is it not? You are testifying, as it says in Romans, that you have been buried with him. That just as Jesus Christ died, you have died. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, now a new person stands in your place. Would you give your life to the Lord today? Would you repent of your sins? Would you repent of your selfishness? Would you believe on him and be saved? Christian, would you die to self? Would you offer yourself up afresh to the Lord? Would you lay down your life? One thing I know about Christians is they want so much to be used by the Lord. They want to bear fruit. You want to be fruitful? Then die. Give it up. Place it in the Lord's hands. Lay down your life. You know what will happen? You bring forth much fruit. You hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he will be glorified. Amen.